I'd like to begin with just a snapshot of an event in Ajahn Chah's life. And he, at this point, he's already been a monk for about 5 or 6 years. He ordained in a village temple, and there wasn't really any examples of meditation. He hadn't really meditated yet, even, which again is sort of, you think, oh, that's what Buddhism is all about, meditation. But if you grow up in a traditional culture, then sometimes you're not exposed to it till much later in life. Yeah. And then he's... and then also just to kind of highlight like Ajahn Chah's connection with family, and because he was he's going back to visit his father who is ill. He's got news, so I'll just read this. Towards the end of that year, Lumpa received dismaying news. His father had fallen seriously ill. Lumpa's exams were to take place shortly, and if we went home now, a whole year's work would be wasted. He was doing his ecclesiastical studies and was getting good marks. He was in a good school. Should he chance it and take his exams before going home? It was no choice at all. He only had one father, and exams could wait another year. He rushed home as soon as he could to find his father's condition in steady decline. Lumpa's father, Poma, was proud to have a son in the robes, and whenever Lumpa visited home, would always encourage him in his efforts and make a request. And this is a quote, "Please don't disrobe, Venerable Sir. I invite you to remain as a monk indefinitely." This is a deliberately literal translation. It is hard to convey in the English language the tenor of a conversation between a Thai monk and his parents. Filial piety is greatly emphasized in Thai culture, and the relationship between parents and children is generally warm and close. Yet when the son becomes a monk, their way of relating to each other instantly and radically changes. The parents are now lay people. They sit on a lower seat at a respectful distance. They use monastic honorifics when referring to their son and humble personal pronouns when referring to themselves. To an observer from another culture, this formality might at first seem odd or perhaps unnatural. But for the family itself, it is simply the accepted convention. The stilted speech forms help everyone to remember that while the son's identity as a monk has not erased his identity as a member of his family, it has transformed it. Now, as he lay weak and shrunken on his deathbed, Poma made the request one last time. "You've made the right choice. Don't change it. Lay life is full of so many kinds of suffering and difficulties. There's no real peace or contentment in it. Remain as a monk." On previous occasions, Lumpa had always kept silent, his head slightly bowed, showing respect but an unwillingness to make such a commitment. This time, however, he replied, "No, I won't disrobe. Why would I do that?" His father's face relaxed into a warm, contented smile, and he drifted into sleep. When Poma discovered that Lumpa's exams would take place shortly, he urged him to return to his monastery, but this request was refused. Instead, Lumpa helped to nurse his father for the 13 more days and nights that he lingered on. It was December, when the days have a drained, subdued tone, and a cold wind blows down through Isan from China. Isan is the northeast. When first thing in the morning, everyone lights up fires outside their houses to warm themselves, and shoe kites anchored high in the sky utter their melancholy cry, "Tui tui, tui tui," throughout the night. One day at the end of the year, Poma's life came to an end.